Welcome to C12, and this is our blog of the week segment. And I try and pick a different person every week, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I keep coming back to Audrey Waters because she writes one heck of a blog, and I happen to be reading her piece on school internet filtering because I'm writing a book on a school internet filter called Untangle. So doing some research and doing some work on that, came across her blog this week, and normally read them anyway, but read it with interest as background for the book. But her article is When School Internet Filters Follow You Home, and really looking at, you know, CIPA, of course, the Children's Internet Protection Act, but its increasingly broad interpretation and application in schools. And she makes some really good points here, but the overall gist of the article is that, you know, CIPA is one thing, and it's not a bad idea to keep students safe from nastiness when they're at school and using the internet. And if they're getting, schools are getting government funds for students to be on the internet and connect to the internet, then chances are they should, you know, reasonably keep them from looking at pornography and whatever else. All well and good, and I don't think anyone will really debate that. The problem is that the FCC has not clarified their rules on CIPA. They have not clarified the scope of CIPA, and the original writing of CIPA is not clear, as Audrey points out. And again, as she points out, you know, there are a lot of schools that are very reasonable in their blocking, but there's a lot more schools that are blocking things that are really remarkably useful for students and teachers. You know, we have everything from YouTube and therefore Khan Academy to Twitter, Facebook, Pinning, Blogger, Skype, you name it. A lot of these services get blocked, and so ultimately what you end up with is a pretty dumbed-down web, which would be okay if when students went home they could access things under the presumably the watchful eyes of their parents, and if not, then again that becoming their parents' responsibility. What we're finding though is that a lot of schools are now implementing their own filtering right on the devices that are being issued to students, and in fact even on devices that students sometimes bring themselves. So this actually leads to something that has been sort of near and dear to my heart in the last few months. Been giving it some thought. Bring your own device. Everyone's been giving it a thought, but it's been swirling around in my head what BYOD actually means in a variety of contexts. And so now all of a sudden, you know, who does have responsibility for the content on those machines when they're brought from home? What about when they're subsidized by schools? You know, at what point does a school have a right and responsibility to step in? And you know, should they be installing gateway filtering that only works when students are at school? Should these devices be pinging off those gateway filters as proxies and therefore filtering while they're at home? And if they choose to filter at home, Lightspeed has an awesome iPad app that works really, really, or iOS app that works really, really well to filter. But, you know, it can be set at really quite reasonable ways. Where would your parents come in? Ask a lot of questions. Audrey asks these questions, and unfortunately, there aren't good answers to any of them, and the FCC certainly isn't stepping forward with answers. The parents who are stepping forward with answers are by and large those who are concerned about what their students are accessing, it's the rare parent who steps forward and says, look, my kids should be able to access more. I think it's just a great article to read. It's over on Hack Education, posted on the 7th of May. Check out Audrey Waters' When Schools Internet Filters Follow You Home. There's our Blog of the Week segment, and thank you for joining us.